to the Mormon Channel Relief Society program, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Carol Stevens, filling in for Sharon Eubank, and today we're joined by Relief Society General President, Sister Julie B. Beck. Janice Staples is also with us today. She's from our Relief Society General Board, and she'll be contributing and adding some comments today through our discussion. Thanks for being here with us, sisters.
Thank you so much, Carol.
So glad to be here, Carol.
Sister Beck, in the church we use the phrase all the time, for the blessings of eternal life. In fact, part of our Relief Society purpose says that Relief Society prepares women for the blessings of eternal life. Would you begin by answering, what does that mean, and why are the temple ordinances and covenants so important?
Thank you for that great question. The whole purpose of the gospel is to prepare us for the blessings of eternal life. Our Heavenly Father has stated that purpose very clearly in the Pearl of Great Price in Moses, where he says, "This is my work and my glory to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man." That's the Lord's mission statement. Our Father in heaven wants that for us. He wants us to have his life and to progress, to earn what he has. None of us will have full joy without having that life. So for us to have his life and his joy, we need to make and keep the covenants of the temple. That is the great gift of the gospel. It's the culminating covenant we make that then sets us on this path to becoming like him and to receive the power of godliness in our lives. So Relief Society is important for sisters in that way. We are the teacher. We are the educator. We are the support group in making and keeping those covenants. I think a lot of people have misconceptions about the organization of Relief Society, and we've talked about that in other programs. You have to think of the context of the organization or the restoration of that organization for women in Nauvoo. The context was this great excitement in building the temple in Nauvoo, the temple that would then make these ordinances that were preparatory for eternal life available to everyone. The temple isn't really the temple without men and women in it together receiving the ordinances. The highest ordinances of the temple are received with a husband and wife together. So Joseph Smith could not prepare the people for the temple until the sisters were also prepared. He had been teaching his apostles, he had been teaching the 70, he'd been preparing the men of the church for the temple. And they had been working feverishly on the temple. The sisters had been providing support in all the ways that women are able to do that. They weren't cutting the stone or chopping the trees. They were cooking the food. They were making the shirts. They were lending their husbands for that great manual labor. But the prophet needed a prepared group of women to officiate in the temple and to receive those ordinances. That first group of Relief Society sisters became that. He told them, "I need you to be holy women and to prepare for the temple." That was the foundation of the organization of Relief Society. It remains the purpose of Relief Society today, to prepare women for the temple and then help them keep those covenants throughout their lives. So when you say Relief Society was organized to prepare us for the blessings of eternal life, that is foundational to this organization.
Thank you for sharing that. That's a great lead-in to our first question, actually. It's about how do we prepare to enter the temple? We have a question here from a sister in the Philippines. She asked about preparation.
Hi, this is Charita Cervantes Caigal from Philippines, and I'm from Paniqui Speak. I have entered the temple already when I'm still youth for doing baptism for the dead, and I'm so grateful for that. But at this time, I'm going to serve a mission very soon, and I know that I have to be endowed first. So I want to know what are the things that I need to prepare or consider first before I can say that I'm well prepared to enter the house of our Lord.
Thank you, Carissa, for that great question. I always like to tell sisters that the best way to prepare for the covenants of the temple is to honor the covenant you've already made. If we honor the covenant of baptism, that first covenant we make, then we're prepared to make other covenants. If we don't understand that first covenant and we don't keep it, there's no point in making more covenants. If you understand the covenant of baptism and what is required of you to always remember the Savior and take His name upon you, and you live that to the fullest, then you will be well prepared to go to the temple. That's the best preparation we can have, is to make and keep that one first covenant and understand what that is. Start understanding the atonement in your life and what it means to renew that covenant every week. A lot of young women want to know when the right time is to go to the temple. And for some, it is when they go on a mission. And for others, it is when they go to be sealed in the temple. For many, that doesn't happen on a chronological scale like they expect it. Some then start getting into their mid-20s, and they wonder if they should go to the temple. And if they go to the temple on their own, without a mission call or without a marriage, are they giving up on some of their dreams? But the temple covenant is really the achievement of a dream. It should feel like the grand prize for us when we go to receive our own endowment. The Handbook of Instruction teaches that a bishop and a stake president help an individual sister determine when they are sufficiently mature to understand and keep the sacred covenants made in the temple. I like to help others understand that this isn't about preparing for a time or an age or a rite of passage, but if we are working always to become sufficiently mature to understand and keep a sacred covenant, then we'll be having the right goals in mind. That's how we become eligible for the temple covenant. That's how we prepare. There are a lot of things we can study also that will help us understand. Let me point you to some resources. One, the scriptures. If you were to begin reading the Doctrine and Covenants and put a T by every verse that you think refers to the temple or a priesthood ordinance or blessing, that would be important. There, in True to the Faith, there are some things that teach about the temple. There's the wonderful pamphlet, The Holy Temple. One of my favorite talks from general authorities about preparing for the temple is a talk President Ezra Taft Benson gave years ago, entitled, What I Hope You Will Teach Your Children About the Temple. Of course, there's the temple preparation classes that happen in the stake. And now we have this wonderful History of Relief Society that will be distributed to the sisters this year. In that, there is a great list of things that you could look to. And this is taken from many of the resources that we have already mentioned. Maybe Sister Staples would like to read that list for us.
It's titled Preparing to Enter the Temple. Believe in Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. Cultivate a testimony of the atonement of Jesus Christ and the restored gospel. Sustain and follow the living prophet. Qualify for a temple recommend by being morally clean, keeping the word of wisdom, paying a full tithing, and living in harmony with the teachings of the church. Give time, talents, and means to help build the Lord's kingdom. Participate in family history work. Be teachable and reverent. Dress modestly and be well-groomed.
Thank you. So, Carissa, if you follow that great list, which is gleaned from those other many resources, you'll be on the right track. And never forget that the temple is its own teacher. We are never finished learning from the temple. So the more we go, the more we learn. If we go there and pay attention, we will continue to be taught.
Sister Beck, thanks so much for teaching us so well about preparing to enter the temple. We have a question now about the first time you go to the temple.
I'm Anna Buttimore from Essex in Southeast England. I know a few people who've not liked the temple the first time they've gone, and a couple of them have gone inactive as a result. It takes a while to understand the temple and learn to love it. How can we ensure against a first-time freakout?
Thank you, Anna. I really appreciate understanding, and I think if others would understand these same things, that the temple is a school. We go there to learn. The temple is a place where we make covenants with the Lord. The temple is a place where ordinances take place for the living and the dead. Sometimes people think of the temple in terms of more than that. And they do think or are prepared by comments of others that it might be something strange. But when you understand that the temple is a school, that a temple is a place where you make a covenant and ordinances take place, there is no reason to feel any type of hesitation or worry about it. I would talk to people always who have a deep understanding of the temple and live the covenants made there. In every ward and stake, there are faithful sisters who would be our role model in this, who feel settled in the temple. If you could go before the first time, a number of times, to perform baptisms for the dead, even if you're an older sister, to accustom yourself to the spirit of the temple, that is a thrill for others. I have a teenage granddaughter now who loves to go to the temple. When I go to the temple, I often take her. I'm grateful that she is familiar with the spirit in the temple and how she feels there. She feels comfortable in the temple now. It's her home. She understands the temple workers and their willingness to assist her. It doesn't feel like an unhappy, strange place. It's a home and a comfortable place for her. The more we attend the temple, the more comfortable we become. And the first time going to the temple is like entering into the first time of a new home. We get acquainted with our surroundings. You learn about the people who live there or work there. So the spirit is the great teacher. And when people have these uneasy feelings, as you described about going in the first time, it should be more of an excited feeling than a worried feeling. If you're worried about going to the temple, that is not the Holy Ghost. That's another spirit that is distracting you from that. So there are some things we can do to prepare personally to have the right spirit, and other things we prepare to learn. But the temple's a school, and we're going there to learn. I would read all the scriptures about the creation, the formation of the earth, about the plan of salvation and what the Lord wants us to do, and what the Lord taught Adam and Eve from the beginning. Then we would know what He wants to teach us and what He prepares us for. He's preparing us for the very same covenants they made. That's simple and not scary.
Sister Beck, what helped you in your preparation the first time you went to the temple?
The best preparation for me was having a mother who understood the temple. Not everyone has that blessing. I had a mother who loved the temple, so I just stayed next to her side. She was my partner and followed me through, all the way through. I couldn't do anything wrong because my mother was there, and I had a lot of trust in that. And that spirit was with me. I didn't understand every word. It's like going to the first day of school. You don't understand every word your teacher tells you. Any of us going into a new situation don't understand everything. People who are baptized don't understand everything the day they're baptized. But you begin. I would hope that every sister has someone with her who feels that comforting place. How about you? What made it comfortable for you, Sister Staples?
Well, I had a mother also, and I think that we had a lot of family discussion before. There was a lot of studying of the scriptures, and Mother described what the temple was going to be like. You know, back in my day, we only went to did baptisms for the dead maybe just a few times before we entered the temple. It wasn't as common back then. But now I see the wonderful blessing that my daughter has. She attends the temple each week, and I see that it will help her in a huge way as she goes to the temple for the first time.
Don't you think watching your mother care for her temple clothing and prepare that also taught you a certain reverence for the temple?
There's no question. In fact, she would often prepare her clothes and lay them out on the bed, and we were very familiar what the temple clothing looked like. And she would press her dress, and then she would hang it in a bag ready to go. And we knew that it was a special place. I remember my dad told me about, he grew up with four boys, and he said his parents would go every Saturday morning to the temple. And he said there would be four tow-head little boys looking out the window, waving to his parents going to the temple, and knew it must be a very important place if his parents were going to spend that time away.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Sister Beck and Sister Staples, for sharing those things with us. We had a sister email her question to the Mormon Channel. I've been a member for just under a year. I found out last night that I'm having a miscarriage. This will be my third baby lost. To be honest, I'm having a difficult time getting up to go to sacrament meeting, let alone going to the temple. What can we do to help ourselves go to the temple when we're dealing with a trial?
It's interesting how our mortal experiences sometimes are used against us. The adversary would use this experience to drive us away from the things that would bring us the most peace. The temple is a place of peace. It's a place of pondering. It's a place of remembering the grand scope of life. Sometimes one trial like this, and it's a hard trial for a sister. There are many hard trials in the lives of sisters. This is one of the hardest, but it isn't the hardest. There are other very difficult trials in life, and we would tend to pull in and not go to the source of peace. The temple's the place to sit and ponder and receive that peace. And as you perform ordinances for others, you begin to have an expanded view of life. You see this life as a transitory time, a lesson learning time. You don't feel like you've built your celestial home in this life. You are focused more on the things of eternity and the Lord's timeline, which is a lot longer than the timeline we have here. You see things in a greater perspective. You understand why the earth was created and why the Savior came and the atonement better. So all those things are taught in the temple. We also are so blessed by the ordinances of the gospel that we find in the temple. Let me share some scriptures with you. When the Kirtland Temple was being dedicated, there were a lot of blessings that were listed in that dedicatory prayer. And then after the temple was dedicated, we have a record here in section 110 of some very amazing things. I would hope every sister in the church has studied and pondered, not just read, but pondered and thought about the different parts and pieces of this section 110. It isn't very long, but it is packed with teaching. The first part of it concerns the Savior and his personal visit to Joseph Smith in that temple dedication in that place, and how he received the temple. Then the Lord says to Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery at this time in verse 7, I have accepted this house, and my name shall be here, and I will manifest myself to my people in mercy in this house. Think of that blessing. The Lord will manifest himself to his people in his temple. Verse 8 says, yea, I will appear unto my servants and speak unto them with mine own voice. If my people will keep my commandments and do not pollute this holy house. So the Lord says he will appear to his servants and speak unto them. I have had that experience, not with the physical appearance of the Savior, but I have had the understanding of him and his life, and I have heard his voice through the voice of the Spirit in my mind in that quiet, still voice. And he has manifest himself many, many times in the temple. Then in verse 9, it says, the hearts of thousands and tens of thousands shall greatly rejoice in consequence of the blessings which shall be poured out, and the endowment with which my servants have been endowed in this house. The Lord is pouring out his blessings upon his people. And he says in verse 10, the fame of this house shall spread to foreign lands, and this is the beginning of the blessing which shall be poured out upon the heads of my people. Even so, amen. If we think now of the many, many temples in operation around the world, we understand this outpouring of blessings. The Lord is pouring out his blessings. We don't just have one temple now in the world. Everyone has access to a temple. Almost everyone in the world can get to a temple with some degree of frequency and receive this outpouring of blessings that comes to us. Section 84 talks about the greater priesthood. The ordinances of this greater priesthood, or the Melchizedek priesthood, are found in the temple. And it talks about that this priesthood administers the gospel, and it has the key to the mysteries of the kingdom, even the key of the knowledge of God. In the temple and in the endowment is where we come to the knowledge of how to become like God. That is a godly power in our lives, to understand how to become like God. And wouldn't God be the one who would know how to overcome a trial, and how to see it in perspective, how to feel peace in the learning of that trial? That is a godly power. It says in section 84, verse 20, therefore, in the ordinances thereof, the power of godliness is manifest. And without the ordinances thereof and the authority of the priesthood, the power of godliness is not manifest unto men in the flesh. For without this, no man can see the face of God, even the Father, and live. Then it explains, this Moses plainly taught to the children of Israel in the wilderness, and sought diligently to sanctify the people that they might behold the face of God. When we're experiencing a trial in our lives, that is the time to go to the temple. I would run to the temple to feel that power and to be renewed in that understanding of what blessings are poured out upon us. This is a transitory mortal experience that we have, but the Lord will provide for us that godliness of how to become like him and overcome the trials that we have. I hope the sisters will go to the temple and pay attention. Don't just be little pacific people not understanding what's going on. Watch for what's happening. Watch who's doing what. Listen to what is said, and go with questions in your mind for the Lord to teach you, and your mind will be expanded and more blessings will be poured out upon you.
You're listening to the Mormon Channel Relief Society program. Sister Julie B. Beck, Relief Society General President, joins us today to answer your questions regarding temple covenants. Sister Beck, we received a question from a sister about how to wear the temple garment and how to show respect for the temple garment. She says, there seems to be some difference of opinion about the correct or appropriate dress for women who have been endowed. So many endowed sisters will buy and wear dresses for special occasions that are strapless or sleeveless. Or many times there are pictures posted on Facebook and other places of endowed sisters on vacation in bikini bathing suits or two-piece suits. And I've even run into women in my ward who are dressed in shorts or tank tops. It seems that they wear their garments on Sunday, but the rest of the time they dress according to the world. Would you like to address that for us today?
What an interesting question. I'm always amazed when I see this misunderstanding about the temple garment. I wonder if sisters understand that once they are under covenant, they're under covenant all the time. This isn't something that you go in and out of. You're on duty all the time as a child of our Heavenly Father, as someone who has taken upon them the name of the Savior Jesus Christ. Sometimes we get missionaries who say, when can I take my badge off? The badge comes off when you're no longer a missionary. Until then, you're on duty 24/7, all around the clock. That is how we should view our covenant making and keeping. It's what we referred to earlier when we say you should be sufficiently mature to understand the making and keeping of that covenant. Part of keeping that covenant is the wearing of the garment. It is a reminder of that covenant, and it is a blessing to us to be able to have that reminder. It is showing reverence and respect for the Lord, and we don't ever go off duty as Heavenly Father's children preparing for the blessings of eternal life. That should guide and govern every choice we make. Those who try to keep a foot in both worlds will find themselves doing gymnastics that they are not equipped to do. They will slip and fall and become injured in that process. The message they also teach the rising generation is not a good one. It doesn't teach the rising generation how to honor a covenant. A covenant is a covenant, and it is an eternal covenant, and we honor it always and live it the best we can every day, every second we are alive. It's not an on-again, off-again kind of thing. Another little teaching that we have in our Relief Society history mentions sacred clothing and the sisters' involvement with that. Sister Staples, maybe you'd like to share that with us.
Joseph Smith asked faithful women in Nauvoo to make sacred clothing to be used in temple ordinances. Sewing temple clothing remained a Relief Society responsibility for many years. Today, sisters continue to have a primary role related to temple clothing and the temple garment. They teach about the honor and care this clothing should receive. They also teach the modesty that is to be maintained in the wearing of the temple garment. The Relief Society president in each ward or branch can answer questions about the use and care of sacred clothing, referring to the current church handbook. Treating sacred clothing with respect is a sign of reverence for the temple blessings.
Thank you. Your bishops and branch presidents have specific instructions about the wearing and care of the garments. Those teachings are in the handbook. It isn't complicated. If your garment is torn, you can sew it up and mend it. If it's worn out, there is a way to dispose of it that is appropriate. They should be cleaned and cared for. And this has always been the responsibility of women. I don't know why, but it is. And what an honor and privilege it is to take care of sacred clothing. The way we honor the garment should be guided by the Holy Ghost, and questions regarding how to wear that should be guided by the Spirit and also can be directed to a priesthood leader. Just understand that the wearing of the garment is an outward expression of an inward commitment to follow the Savior back to our eternal home. If we really want that blessing, we would honor the wearing of the garment. It wouldn't be something that we would change based on the occasion. It would be something we would seek to honor every day and every moment of our lives.
Thank you, Sister Beck. Some of the questions sent in talked about the sealing ordinance. One sister asks, there are two sisters that I visit teach that are divorced with children, and it's my understanding that they cannot be sealed to their children now if they were not previously sealed to them. I'm not sure if they can be sealed together if they remarry either. Both are converts to the gospel and not married in the temple. How do I approach the topic of forever families with them in a way that isn't discouraging or painful? How do we teach truth while not beating down those from broken homes?
Thank you. I think sometimes there are a lot of misconceptions about the sealing and who we're sealed to and people honoring and keeping their covenant. The most important covenant we can keep is the covenant we make. Temples are literally houses of the Lord. They're holy places of worship where the Lord may visit. So each of us can access that home, that heavenly home, that sacred home, no matter what other people in our lives are doing. Our personal commitment is not dependent on whether or not other people keep their commitment. All of us, and mortal experience have had that experience. Adam and Eve had that experience in their family where a close loved one did not honor and keep the covenant that they had made. They dealt with it their entire life, and their posterity all the way down to our day has dealt with these same questions. If you want to understand how to live in a family where some people don't keep their covenants, just start reading in the Old Testament and keep going. You'll find a lot of that in those families. It happens in the Book of Mormon. It happens today. So it isn't always tied to our own faithfulness and goodness. Adam and Eve were faithful and good. Nephi and Lehi and Sarah were faithful and good. It's a pattern that happens in our lives that sometimes people choose to do wrong. We seek for our own endowment and our own gift. The endowment means gift, and we don't take out our endowment. We receive our endowment. We receive this gift. It's important for us to say that correctly. Some people mention it a different way. It isn't anything we take. It's something we're given. And if we make the covenant to righteously comply with the requirements of the gospel and keep our life focused on the Savior, we will be blessed. The sealing that happens and takes place in the temple is being sealed into Heavenly Father's family. That is a great protection and blessing in our lives. So if someone hasn't honored their sealing covenant, we can honor ours and receive that blessing. Sometimes we have people join the church, families where our family isn't intact and they can't all be sealed at a certain time. But they can prepare for and receive their own endowment and prepare for the time when they can then be sealed into Heavenly Father's family, either in this life or the next. President Harold B. Lee said that the only place on earth where we can receive the fullness of the blessings of the priesthood is in the Holy Temple, and it's the only place where through the ordinances we can receive that which will qualify us for exaltation in the celestial kingdom. If we focus less on the behavior of the people who are disappointing us and the things that are going wrong in their lives and focus more on the right things we can do to honor the covenants we've made, to receive our endowment, to honor and keep that and have that spirit, will be blessed. The reason we don't like to cancel sealings in the church until another sealing is going to take place is because we want everyone to be covered by that covenant in Heavenly Father's family. None of us would, once having had that covenant in our life, would ever want that taken away. And we can always have that by honoring it. The person who fails to keep that covenant isn't covered by that covenant, but we are. And the children and the families that are covered by that covenant are also blessed. So I would tell every sister to access every blessing you can access for yourself and for your children. And let Heavenly Father worry about the details. He wants you in His family, and He will provide a way for you to be blessed in the covenant He promised to Adam and Eve and on through their posterity to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And into today, we are blessed by that covenant.
We are blessed. Thank you, Sister Beck. We have one last question from a 17-year-old in Alaska.
I was just wondering if your parents aren't sealed, what would happen to the kids?
Thank you, Emily. What will happen to you is you will be blessed. You will be loved by our Heavenly Father. Let's review some of the things we've talked about today. That the temple is essential in our preparation for the blessings of eternal life. The sisters of this church have been integral and part of those blessings. Joseph Smith told them when he organized them that he was going to put them in possession of the gifts and the blessings and the ordinances of the priesthood in their lives. What an amazing miracle that had never happened on the earth till that time, when sisters could be engaged in that way in the priesthood ordinances of the gospel and prepare for eternal life as we have today. Every single one of us can reach a maturity or a level of preparedness where we can learn to make and keep the covenants of the temple, which bind us to our Heavenly Father forever and help prepare us for His life. In the temple, we receive the power of godliness that is only manifest there in those ordinances. We can receive all that the Father hath and receive every endowment available and take every opportunity to receive those covenants. If parents aren't sealed in the temple, you go to the temple, you prepare to receive your endowment, and at some point you will be sealed in the temple into Heavenly Father's family. These are great and amazing blessings available to all of Heavenly Father's worthy children. As part of that, we have the temple garment with us always, which we honor and keep and wear as a blessing, but also a reminder, that outward expression of the inner commitment we have made to our Heavenly Father and our commitment to become like Him. It is less learning about how to become like ourselves and more learning to become like our Heavenly Father and being unified with Him and His Holy Son. This is part of my testimony. I love the temple. I love the covenants of the temple. I love the blessings of the temple. I love the gifts of the temple and the gifts of the priesthood that come to all those who honor and keep their ordinances and the covenants they've made. And I would hope that every brother and sister in this church would become a student of the temple and learn there and learn from the scriptures what they're learning in the temple. That's my testimony.
Thank you, Sister Beck, for sharing that beautiful testimony with us. And thank you, Sister Staples, for joining us today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Mormon Channel Relief Society program, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more information on this program, visit our website at mormonchannel.org. To ask a question to Sister Beck, email us at mormonchannel@ldschurch.org. Thank you for listening.